ABC News.
They covered a very broad sector of Syria. You know, there was. It's not like there was one deployment with 2,000 folks operating from one base. A lot of these troops were out with militias. You know, they were working with the Kurdish forces. They were working with some of the Arab tribes and other folks. And some of them were out on their own, you know, running covert ops and running raids and other things like that. So they covered a lot of territory. And while there are a few bases, they mostly were dispersed.
Would I be right in thinking that your security studies group was asked to prepare a plan for a possible withdrawal?
Yeah, we did earlier this year in the spring when President Trump first noted, and he made a public statement saying we were getting out of Syria somewhat soon. And at that point, some of our friends in the government asked us to kind of update some work we'd done related to Iraq about working with the tribes to try to do similar things to what happened during the surge in Iraq. And there was a very successful effort to recruit and train and basically turn the tribes in Anbar province of Iraq into militias that could take care of their own areas. And so we suggested, and you know, it's been listened to, that working with the tribes in Syria is another good thing. You know, the ISIS folks are trying to recruit and, you know, forcing people to join them a lot of times. But if you can give those folks the opportunity and the resources and the training, a lot of times they can take care of themselves and push back on them. So that was a good part of our plan, and that's something that's likely to be happening as U.S. troops pull back.
Now, as you know, since the president announced this withdrawal plan, there's been a lot of diplomatic and political blowback. Let's take a few of the issues in no particular order. One of the criticisms is that it leaves the Kurds in the lurch. What do you say to that?
It does. You know, there's no question about that. And I think that's something we need to do something about. You know, the Kurds have been one of the better allies we've had in the region for a very long time. And we have an unfortunate habit of not treating them well after they do what we ask them to. And I think this might be a time where we need to go ahead and say, all right, if we're going to pull our folks out, you know, maybe we leave some air cover in place. Maybe we do something similar to the no-fly zone that we did, you know, in the 90s, Operation Provide Comfort for the Kurds in Iraq when Saddam was trying to take them out. I think it's time for a little bit more autonomy for the Kurds. I think it's time for some self-determination. You know, it's problematic to try and give them a nation state because obviously the Kurds are spread among four or five countries. But if we go ahead within those countries and basically say the U.S. supports more autonomy, more freedom for the Kurds, I think we owe them that. So we're hopeful that that'll happen, and we're advocating for it.
The other criticism that has been made, as you're well aware, is that what President Trump has done is give a victory to not only the Syrians and Russia, but also the Iranians.
I think that's not exactly true, but it remains to be seen. You know, it's going to be more difficult to stop Iran from solidifying their positions in Syria without a U.S. presence. But we did not have that large a presence, you know, and the ability to basically deny territory to them across the whole of Syria in any meaningful way anyhow. So part of the whole of government strategy that's contained in President Trump's Iran strategy is to use all of the, you know, this parts of U.S. force projection and power to go ahead and, you know, put pressure on Iran. So economic sanctions, you know, pressure we'll put on them diplomatically, working with the neighboring nations. We can put a lot of higher degree of difficulty on their ability to actually do what they want in Iran. It costs them a lot of money to field the forces they have been putting into Syria. And they've got pretty big protests at home. A lot of it says that the people are sick of money being spent on adventurism in Syria, in Yemen, you know, supporting Hezbollah and Hamas and the other terror groups that they support. So we think that there are possibilities to go ahead and slow down Iranian expansion and ability to, you know, solidify in place by using those other methods of making the Mullahs suffer.
The move also, as you know, brings in Turkey to do some of the heavy lifting, but at the expense perhaps of the Kurds?
You know, that's an interesting thing, because I as soon as this happened and the arms deal with Turkey was announced, I knew that that was one of the big levers for the timing of this. We've been trying to stop them from buying the SA-400 missile systems from the Russians and to replace them with Patriot missiles, more appropriate for a NATO ally. And, you know, we also have the F-35 fighters that have been partially delivered to them that we're not going to give them if they put Russian missiles. You know, if they've got Russian missiles in their country, they're not getting F-35 fighters. So I think this was an attempt by President Trump to kind of make a deal with Erdogan, saying, you're a NATO ally. We haven't been very friendly recently. You know, we haven't been getting a lot of things done in concert. You seem to have been going toward Russia and Iran. We want you to pull back towards us. And I think that's been his goal. I know that part of the ask from President Trump in granting the arms sales and doing some other things is, while, you know, we're not there, this is not a license to, you know, start wiping out the Kurds on your border. So we're going to have to watch how that goes.
And finally, you being in the United States would be watching the political to and fro. And of course, President Trump's supporters would say, well, he promised to pull the troops out and he's actually done that. But within his own Republican Party, you've got Bob Corker and Lindsey Graham saying it's a terrible decision. Do you think it will be revisited in any way, shape or form?
I don't think he's going to change his mind. You know, he's been very adamant about wanting to do this, and it's been a challenge since, you know, he took the presidency to go ahead and stop him from doing it. So now that he's made the decision to do it, he's told all of his agencies to go ahead and execute this, do it the best you can. And Lindsey Graham seems to now enjoy the spotlight. I think he believes he's the new Maverick. So he has been piping up regularly, and I don't know that his advice has always been that great. Bob Corker is leaving the Senate, so I'm not too concerned about what he says. But there are difficulties with, you know, many of the folks who are customarily the president's allies. And I think he's going to have to explain and show that, okay, I may be pulling the troops out, but I'm not lessening the effort, you know, to go ahead and make sure Iran can't expand, to make sure that, you know, to the extent we can influence things in Syria, we do so that bad things don't happen, that we can try to pull Turkey back in our orbit. And if he demonstrates that he's doing those things using other methods and other, you know, types of U.S. power, I think he'll win some of those people back over.
ABC News.